Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. This is an unusual Wednesday night show when I used to be so usual. Hi, Terry Dodd.
Good evening.
And welcome, Red Beckman.
Good evening.
Before we start, on a very interesting show tonight, Terry, I'd like to ask you if you would help us open this session in prayer for looking for some real truth tonight.
Be glad to do that. Please pray with me. Almighty Father in heaven, we come before you humbly in the name of your Son. I'm thankful for my brother Red and my sister Kate, and thankful for this opportunity to come together to discuss important issues. We just thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for this venue. We ask you to bless us this night on this show, that your spirit would go before us, that what we would say and do would glorify you, and that we can have a rich and meaningful discussion. So we ask for your protection and your guidance, and we ask you to take control of our words and our thoughts. In the name of your Son, Yahshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, gentlemen, we've been talking about doing a CD for about a year, and I think we started our work last fall and did a series of, I think, about six shows where I think we touched topics that are very relevant today. And what we want to redo that again and get this done. And I think that there's a meaningful way. I think the overall goals, as we talked about, is to prepare something that someone could just listen to. And at the end of that period, just know where we are right now, have it be verified by Scripture, and to really know what the next steps are, one of which, Terry, you talk about all the time, is putting Yahweh, God, at the top of the pecking order. So I'm intrigued by a number of things. Terry, your recent email out there talking about how we are under attack, the discussions we all have had about the counterfeit, the great counterfeit system and the fake New World Order and Agenda 21, and the scriptural basis, as we look at Matthew 24, to know that since these small handful of Satan's chosen cannot defeat us by killing us, they have to do it in another way, which is to take over the money system, communications, education, and there we have it. So once, and I think we all agree that once we see this as the broader spiritual battle that it is, the sort of items that we do and the things, the way we conduct our lives, becomes a very different kind of thing. No more just running from one issue to the next. So first let me ask Terry and Red, is that an accurate description of where we'd like to go with a CD like this, as we discussed about this even starting a year ago in February?
I think that it's going to be real difficult at this point to say where we're going to end up. Because I don't think any of the three of us have done anything quite like this. And I have wanted to do something like this for quite some time. You know, in years past, you know, I spent a lot of time driving. I had my own truck and trailer, flatbed trailer, in my business and such. And then I also would the different trucking outfits back in Billings, Montana. They would, especially in the summertime, they would end up with more trips, more loads than they had drivers, and one thing or another. And of course, I had all of the license and everything that I needed, and so I made a lot of trips from Billings, Montana, and going into the Dakotas, especially with road oil and hot asphalt mix and such, and even going west, even into Idaho with loads such as that. And these were, I enjoyed these. They were hard work. They were difficult because of too many times I didn't get near enough sleep before I made a trip and all this kind of thing. But I really appreciated the time, because the driving come natural. That was just automatic. And I had the time to think. I had a two-way radio, of course, in my own rig, and I just never hardly ever used it. And I didn't listen to all the noise on the radio. I was thinking a great deal about about spiritual things, because well, my first book, Born Again Republic, in the fall of 1980, in the book I wrote, and I said that Satan is the god of the religious world. When my wife typed that up, and I didn't know anything about writing books, I was dumb as a post, and I just didn't know how to go about it or anything else, but we did it. And I wrote that Satan was the god of the religious world, and my wife didn't want to put that in the book. I said, it's got to be in the book. I put the support arguments to support what I had said. The one scripture I used, of course, was where the Bible tells us that Satan is the god of confusion. God is the god of order, and Lucifer is the god of confusion. And the religious world is more confusing than the political world, at least in my estimation, and I think that history would bear me out on that. And so, anyway, I put a lot of stuff together in my own mind back there, particularly in the 60s and 70s, and I just, well, I I was so fascinated by trying to understand God's plan and all there is to know. And excuse me. As a result, I came up with, you know, people have done a lot of, you know, guesswork and such, guessing about what the mark of the beast will be and all that kind of thing. And before this series of programs is over, I'll explain my what I think is the mark of the beast. And I dare say that people, when they hear it, are going to buy the explanation, because I am convinced there is no better explanation available. I think that when I explain this, I think people will understand what I'm saying, and I think it's a time in our history where it's time that this truth comes out. We know we're in, you know, we're looking at the prophecies of Matthew 24. They're right at our doorstep, if not already in place, already happening. But anyway, I hope we can do this, Terry and Dr. Kate. You're going to be doing the editing and putting this CD together. I'm not going to do it. Terry has got at his fingertips with his computer knowledge and his computer. I'm not going to give you a lot of scriptures when I explain all of this. I'm gonna leave that up to Terry and Dr. Kate to. If they feel that there needs to be scripture references on something, all Terry has to do is know which button to punch on his computer, and it's right in front of him on his screen. So I can't do that. That's for younger people, and I feel an urgency. I feel there is an urgency that I get this done. My health problems aren't improving, and I just my days are numbered, and I just would like to get some of this this thinking out there and let people you know, attack it with their thinking powers and see what they come up with. So. I don't know if that's what you were looking for, Dr. Kate, but there it is, and I'm just looking forward to this. I think it's timely. I think we need to do it. I've spent so many years doing a lot of cogitating, I guess, and so. Let's hear from Terry and see what he thinks about this proposal, this the prospects that we've got.
That would be great, Terry. He took the words right out of my mouth. What are your views on our challenge? Let's say we devote the next 4 weeks of this show to getting the information out. At least we'll start with this CD. Please let me know what you think.
Well, I've been doing a little more introspection than I've probably ever done in my life. And I'm beginning, you know, I've even questioned some of the efforts that we've done in the past right here, wondering whether or not we are encouraging people to butt heads with these evil powers that be, these banksters, these Luciferians, these people who are bent on controlling humanity, enslaving them, if it's not really exactly what they want. for people to butt heads with them, to bring things to a head where they can be justified in bringing forth things like martial law or false flags or genocide or, you know, a World War III, this sort of thing. And I've been asking myself the question, as you saw in our Skype conversation, Dr. Kate, about, you know, what is it that Yahweh or Yahweh, however you want to pronounce that, we really don't know the exact pronunciation of it, but that's his name. Some people, you could say Yehovah, if you will. What is it that he wants of us? What does his son, what does the Messiah want for us, people who are followers of him, those that are in the Book of Life? What is it that he wants us to be doing at this time, in this age, in this generation? There's no question that we're in a spiritual battle, and I've come to the conclusion that anybody that doesn't recognize that simply cannot fight side by side with those of us that do, because they're going to misdirect. They're going to have their focus in the wrong place. It's kind of like a Gideon thing. We've got to have the spirit of our Father in heaven going before us in everything that we do here, or we're not going to, we're just going to beat our heads against the wall. So I guess I want to just really focus on the thing that Red had brought out so often and really ground into me early on, and as we became friends, 4 or 5 years ago. To keep our Father in heaven, to keep the Messiah at the top of the pecking order. Because everything that our enemy does is an attack on that. It's an attempt to get themselves at the top of the pecking order, even above the government. But, you know, their attempts to get government over, above the people, really the ultimate goal there is to get our Father in heaven at the bottom of the pecking order, because we go down there with him. And it as long as they can do that. So we've got to focus on that and make that a central point in everything that we do. And if we can do nothing more than clearly describe to people so that they can clearly understand that this is, in fact, a spiritual battle, and that's the most important part of this battle, then we will have accomplished a great thing. So that's where I think our focus needs to be.
Thank you, Terry. And just reviewing some of the questions in our email discussion, it seems like the threshold issues first are we are in a spiritual battle right now, and it's not really about anything else. It has manifestations, but it is that spiritual battle. And as Red was saying earlier today, we are very much a part of this battle between Satan and God. I'm trying to get used to doing Yahweh, etc., and other uses, so please forgive me for using the term God, I'm just going to just slip into that as well. But I mean reference to him in the highest sense. So that seems to be a threshold issue, and that it will lead to if we are not on that viewpoint or see it, it will lead to misfiring, if you will, sort of different kinds of action. So when we start there, that it's a spiritual battle, and as we move from there, it becomes all of the ways in which we know that Satan is the little g god of this world, and the temptation of Christ, moving to the place now of how we can see what that temptation is, how we can see what the battle is, then the next questions become, as you said earlier, are we going in the wrong way by encouraging people to butt heads with the Luciferians? And does it get us anywhere? And to follow from there, how do we, quote, come out of her, as you most eloquently said? Is putting reliance on man's law in some way a denial of God at the top of the pecking order? Now, what I just said in the last few seconds may sound disjointed, but they're all the thoughts that we have had as we've discussed over in the last year, and I think what we're talking about in this CD now is trying to find some real answers there. And to, at the end of this, again, make a convincing and compelling case for where we are. Do we know what's going to happen? No. But there are certainly things that are being shown to us right now that clearly indicate that this time is not like no other, is not like any other time. So now, if we start, does that seem like a framework for where we're going and what we're doing?
I'm with you.
Okay, so with that, I think some of the guidelines, in my view, one of the things that we've talked about, for example, the failure of the church, one of the things that the church has gotten out of the job of is education and interpretation of events, and we've discussed all the mechanics of how the church and the Bible have been thrown out of everything. And from that standpoint, when we think about an alternative way of the church to be, part of that is, even if it's as simple as having a once-a-night gathering where people take the current events that have been going on and look for the scriptural passages that either confirm or deny people's view, what you think about what this means for our lives today. So I would say that one of the caveats, although we won't be able to put our fingers exactly on each scriptural passage, but as we move forward, let's find the evidence in Scripture. Because that's one of the things we're trying to get people to do is to, you know, turn off Oprah Winfrey and open your Bible and get your guidance from a different place. So with that, again, just testing the waters, does that seem reasonable as a guidance?
Yes.
Okay, so, Red, you have often said a number of things about what you consider to be a kind of previous creation. And here are the things that if we're going to really address that, I think this is one of the first things we have to start at the beginning, because where we start at the beginning is fundamental to moving forward. So,
Dr. Kate, let me, can you hear me?
Yes.
I had my phone muted here for a while because I had some coughing to tend to. And I kind of messed up, but I'd like to just kind of inject some stuff here that I think will give you a sense of the direction that I think we need to go. As I said earlier, in that first book of mine, in 1980, that's 33 years ago, I made that comment that Satan is the god of the religious world. And I think I can support that, and most people will agree with me, because there's enough scripture that we can use, but there's some serious failures in what is being taught, and we don't hear anything about Lucifer and how come we've got a Lucifer, we've got a Satan, we've got the great accuser in Revelations. They call him different names. They call him the snake, and they call him a devil and all kinds of things. They all fit, of course. But I think that if we get a handle on how come we have a Lucifer and have what we have today in our theological world, theological studies and such, and I've read a lot of different viewpoints over the years, and I've not been impressed with most of what I have read. And I had access when I was a teenager to a very good library with a lot of old books that were centuries old and such, and that kind of whetted my appetite to do more of this kind of study and thinking. And so I like to go back and into a previous creation. There's not a tremendous amount of scripture. Now, Terry can find this on his computer. He knows what I'm talking about, I'm sure. And it doesn't say that much about how there was a previous creation. And Lucifer was created as a very powerful spirit being, and our Heavenly Father commissioned him to be the administrator of planet Earth. And knowing how God is honest and straightforward and right up front, and we get that picture, of course, when we study and read about Adam and Eve and how they were created, and we see a pattern there that I think you will find that it's a pattern established by our Heavenly Father. And he set Adam and Eve down, and he said, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want Adam here. He's got the responsibility to name all of this, the different things in the creation. And that, and he says, now, he said, there's that one tree over there, and I don't want you eating of that tree. If you eat of that tree, you are going to die. And, of course, we know this part of the story. And we know the part of the story that you have in the book of Genesis, where it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the deep. And it says that God came and he said, let there be light. Now, if we're capable of a little of investigative reporting and such, we can go back prior to that. And we can understand, I believe, and this is for people to kind of bounce around in their own craniums and come to a conclusion whether I'm right or wrong. But I think that when God created Lucifer, that great, powerful spirit, he set him down and explained what God expected, his creator. And God gave him the power to be the administrator of planet Earth. And I believe that he told Lucifer, now you have a lot of power. And you've got more power than most spirits because you have the power to rebel against your creator. But if you rebel, what did God tell? What did God tell Lucifer? What would happen if God turned out? Lucifer rebelled. And, of course, we know that he did rebel, and there's enough in the scripture to indicate that, and Terry knows where these are all at. Excuse me. Anyway, the scripture is very clear that Lucifer did rebel. And, of course, I am of the opinion that God had told him, if you rebel, I'm going to turn out the light. Because that's what we find in Genesis 1. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the deep. There wasn't any life on planet Earth. There was no light. There was without light, there is no life. I mean, without light, there is no life. And so, I think we can get that picture now. When I grew up, and I grew up in church, because of my father being a country preacher and one thing and another, my mother had been a teacher in a Lutheran parochial school. She was a dyed-in-the-wool Lutheran, and I was her first son, and that's how come I have the name Martin, because Martin Luther was a great name for anybody in the Lutheran religious faith. And so she wanted me to be a Lutheran minister when I was born. And, of course, that didn't work out. I disappointed her, I guess, up to a point. But anyway, I do not remember at any time in all of the sermons and the Sunday school lessons and such that I got over the years. And, of course, I was a Sunday school teacher. Senior adult Sunday school teacher in a church there in Montana until I finally just had to walk away from it because I had come to such strong conclusions about organized religion being a dead end street. It just wasn't what people needed for their spiritual health. And so anyway. Over the years, just to give you an example, I have asked many, many, many ministers over the years, as I traveled this country as a public speaker, I spoke at hundreds of conventions and seminars and all kinds of things for a long time, and I've had a lot of ministers that have come to our meetings, and we've ended up with some very interesting conversations. And I've asked these ministers, Satan fell, he rebelled, and God's judgment fell, and we have no record of anything other than God turned out the light, and the planet was turned into a barren nothing, and just a frozen blob out there in space without light. And so I ask people, especially ministers, where is Lucifer? We don't know how long the earth was without form and void and darkness was on the deep. We don't know how long. But it may have been eons of time. But I ask these people, where has Lucifer spent his time? Where's he at? Where's he been? And I have never found one that knew where Lucifer has been existing during this time when the earth was without form and void and darkness was on the deep. Where was he at? And I've never had one that could tell me where he's at. And it's in the scriptures. It tells us where it's at. You go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, and it tells you that he, at that time, that he is cast out of heaven. And we'll talk about that later in some of these sessions. He is cast out of heaven. He spent his time in heaven. And what has he been doing? You read Revelation 12, and it tells us he's the great accuser. And he spent his time challenging his creator. And he called his creator evil, and he called him unrighteous, and he called him all kinds of names. He was accuser before the throne of God, his very own creator, and he was accusing God of being unfair and unjust, and you name it. He was the great accuser. And we don't know how long that went on, but finally, our Heavenly Father said, I've had enough. And I think that we can be pretty comfortable saying that our Heavenly Father stopped the accusation and said, Lucifer, I have a plan. And I'm going to come down to planet Earth, and I'm going to have a new creation. I'm going to create a new creation. And if you tamper, if you pervert, if you do anything to hinder my creation from making the earth a good place, I will have a new judgment. I'll have another judgment, a second judgment. This is how righteous our God is. He would not come up with this judgment against Lucifer and say, you're going to end up in the bottomless pit. He didn't keep that hidden until afterwards. He brought that out right in the beginning because of this interchange between him and Lucifer right there in heaven. And so Lucifer being absolutely evil and all, he set out to destroy. He set out to pervert this creation that God had put on the planet. And that's how come he perverted or he deceived Eve. Well, it tells us that, that Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. But anyway, and of course that made it to where our Heavenly Father has a just right to, at some point, put another judgment on Lucifer, and of course the Bible tells us what that will be. He'll be cast into the bottomless pit. And so that's, where I would want to, I've, in all these years, I've never heard anybody teach, where's Lucifer at? Where's he at? And all these centuries or eons of time, that the earth was without form and void. Where was he at? He was in heaven, and people don't understand that, and they need to know. And so what we need to get across, it was not gotten across to me. I came to the conclusion on this on my own. I never read it in any of the theological treatises that I've read, but I have come to the conclusion we need to be taught from the time we're small children, from the time we're 8, 10, 12, we need to be taught that we are going to be part of a process. John 3:16, I think Terry and Dr. Kate, both of you have heard me say that I had never heard anybody. That's the most quoted, most memorized verse in the Bible, and I had, for a long time, I had never found anybody that understood John 3:16, where God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it doesn't say for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for the people of the world. That isn't what it says. And when we understand the creation of Adam and how that he was created from the dust of the earth, and so you and I, we are integral to the planet. We are part of this planet. We're as much a part of this planet as, the whole of all of the world's land masses and countries and all. We're as much a part of the world as anything. And so I think that when Lucifer, we went for about 13 weeks on our Walls in Our Minds programs, talking about the satanic counterfeits, and Satan has a counterfeit plan of redemption. God has a plan of redemption for planet Earth, and Satan has a plan, and we need to learn how that we are going to be on one side or the other. There's only two sides of this thing. There's not the Lutheran side and the Catholic side and all of that. There's just one side of this, two sides of this. And it's Satan and his side, the small g God, and it's our Heavenly Father and his people on the other side. And I really believe that we have missed in our preaching of the gospel by not confronting people with this fact that there is this war going on, and there's not any going to be any sitting on the fence. You're going to be on one side or the other. And when you think about it, there's probably been billions of people who have been born, they lived their lives, and they died, and they never had any comprehension of what I'm talking about here. Now, I think that the time in which we're living, you go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, and you follow through, and there were things that God taught, and he brought out, of course, in the book of Exodus, you have the Ten Commandments given, and on through, and of course, then later on you have rituals, you might say, and I don't like the term ritual, but it's the baptism. The water baptism is something that came along and that God introduced. He wanted this to be a very much a part of his program. And as we go along, and I think that our Heavenly Father didn't dump the whole load on us in the book of Genesis. I think that there's been a progression, a growth, you might say, of understanding of what is going on and what needs to be done and all of that. And so I better hush here for a bit and let you guys, Dr. Kate and Terry, to make a comment if you disagree or agree or whatever, because I'm just getting wound up here now. So I'll turn it back to you, Terry, or Dr. Katie, the one.
Yeah, thank you, Red. This is what I wanted us to at least start out with so we could, quote-unquote, get to the bottom of it, because there's really difference of opinion for sure, but I'm not quite sure why. Here's one of my questions. Why any previous creation would be necessary for us to understand what is going on right now today, because I do think that the scripture is very clear about Satan's fall and where he is right now, and that God did create him, and he is rebelled, and he represents and has taught the rest of us to rebel right there in the garden. So I'm not sure, and I believe that God is just and justified and merciful, but I'm not sure where it helps or advances our discussion to talk about a previous creation. So help me understand that's my first question.
Yeah, let me say this. There was a previous creation, and of course the evidence, the geological people that study the bones and the artifacts and everything, the evidence is there. You know, people mining coal, and they might be down hundreds of feet in the ground, and they find coal with the imprint of a leaf from a tree. They find all kinds of things. And there in Montana, we have an area there that's really amazing. It's a gypsum deposit, and it's a long ways from an ocean and all, but they find a lot of farmers used to get that gypsum and put it on their land, and they would find whalebone. And things like that that have, and of course the experts, they determine that those things have been there for, you know, so many centuries or thousands of years.
Can I stop
yeah,
you right
ahead.
There?
Because yeah,
this
yeah.
is my field of study. Remember, I'm the one who went to all these schools on geology and geochemistry and paleontology and geophysics. I'm the one who also ended up saying that I think that my education was a counterfeit. Because when I look at those data, and remember, I've had all this background on all this dating of, you know, radioactive dating and pieces
mm-hmm.
of the earth.
Yeah.
I am not convinced that these things are millions and billions of years old. I'm not
convinced either. No.
So for me, I know what you're saying in terms of what is found, but it doesn't mean that these things are billions of years old. We may have an entirely incorrect view of geologic history, and why wouldn't we? Because if you knew that, for example, by the stroke of God's hand, he could push up a mountain range in 5 minutes, not even longer
mm-hmm.
than that, push it up like that, would we have a little more respect for where we are, knowing
mm-hmm.
that he could move that amount of earth? So I really, after all this time, years and decades in these areas, in these scientific areas, I'm not so sure anymore. So again, the evidence of a previous creation, I'm not sure. And again, I ask the question, so what? What does it mean now for where we are?
Yeah. Dr. Kate, I think that I missed here. I didn't have an outline here to follow, and I missed out on saying the basic truth that you have to start with in a discussion like this, and I missed. I'll have to apologize because I missed it. We have to understand that our Heavenly Father is eternal. He has been there in as far in the past as far as there is a future. There was no beginning and no end, you see. And we really need to understand that because, you see, there could have been there could have been dozens of creations on this planet when you think of it in those terms. Eternity, you see, is as far behind us as it is ahead of us. And that, you see, our finite minds just can't handle that. We're just not, we can't expand our thinking enough to comprehend how long that can be. It's like I tell people that space, eternity, is not the only thing without an end, and that is space out there, and we've got all these satellites and all kinds of things up there and everything, and we haven't even touched it. It's just there's no end. There is no end, because there is no end of God. There is no beginning and no end. And I'm sorry I didn't bring that out right to start with. But I understand what you're saying, you see, because it just seems like God, why would he put up with centuries or eons of time of having one of his creations that has failed, and having one of his creations accusing him on a constant basis of being unjust and unfair. And so, you know, I would be more inclined to think that it was probably not a matter of too many years in between. But we don't know, and it doesn't really make any difference whether it was 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years. We just know that our Heavenly Father created a plan to redeem his, something that people need to understand. When God created the creation that we read about in the book of Genesis, this was part of his plan to bring Lucifer to justice, to get him out of his face. Lucifer was in his face, accusing him of being unjust and unfair. And so we're part of a plan that God has to stop that. Yeah.
Yes. Now let me just stop right there. First of all, I think the question that I have is I don't have it's not really a question, it's a statement. I understand the eternity, no beginning, no end. That's very clear. And the real question I have is, and then I want to let Terry jump in here, is there a way to talk about and emphasize the eternity of God without talking about any previous creation? Because that in itself creates a whole other discussion point that for me is not exactly relevant to seeing the truth right now. And I know that might be small, but let me turn this over to Terry and see if my questions are making any sense here and if we're getting at this issue.
Well, I've got a lot of thoughts on this, and you know, this is not the first time that Red has brought out these points, and I've done, you know, a bit of research. I've you know, Red, I have tremendous respect for you, and I always have, and when you first mentioned this concept, I wondered what was the point of it. And I also did not, from the three times that I had taught my way through Scripture, or two times that I actually taught my way through the entire Scripture, I never remembered coming across anything that would indicate to me what your vision or your thoughts were on this previous creation deal. And I just want to say this. I always try to not say more than Scripture says or less than Scripture says. And And I like to go back to the scripture itself and let it speak for itself, because, you know, I don't want to try to interpret that for people. I'd really like for them to hear it directly from those words. So I've gone back and I've looked at it, and I don't see any indication in the Word where he speaks of any previous creation. I also don't necessarily see how it would be beneficial to anyone today to know how to deal with things today. So I think maybe we ought to look just a little bit at Genesis itself. And I'm going to be reading from the Hallelujah Scriptures, which is the Bible. It is a more recent a translation of the Textus Receptus, where they tried to stay as true to the original language as possible. So let me tell you the name. The word Shamayim is a word meaning heaven. It's used interchangeably for the heavens, meaning the sky and the expanse of the universe, as well as that spiritual home where Elohim's where Yahweh's throne is, where, you know, that was existent before this universe was brought into existence. I want you to think about the words came to be or come to be, what those mean. What does the word beginning mean? I'm just starting at Genesis 1 here, just to read a little bit. It says, in the beginning, Elohim created the Shamayim and the earth, meaning the heavens and the earth. And the earth came to be formless and empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Ruach, meaning the spirit of Elohim, was moving on the face of the waters. And Elohim said, let light come to be. And light came to be. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim separated the light from the darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but here's what this means to me. It means that light as we know it was something that was first created in this creation event. And it was observed and rated, if you will, as being good, something that was good. So I don't think he would have said that had he created it before and he had just turned it off and turned it back on. I believe that that rating is an evidence that this was the first time that he had created this and rated it and expressed his opinion of it. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, day one.
Let me say this right here. Where was Lucifer presented the dominion of the kingdoms of the earth? When did that happen?
Sometime after the earth was created, that's for sure.
You see, that's where the problem is here. You see, the earth has been here a long, long, long time. Adam is only back about 6,000 years. And
well,
so,
let me stop
ahead.
You because,
go ahead.
I'm a student of science and observable data. And I have never found anything in science that disputes the timeline of Scripture. First of all, I want you to understand that I am relatively well-read and learned about radiometric dating. I'm also fully aware of how the stratas, the geological stratas of the Earth, were named and how they determined these ages that they assign to these various stratas. Now, first of all, prior to the flood, we did not have the same environmental conditions that we did after the flood. The description of the from Scripture is that the dew watered the earth. We didn't have rain events the way we do now prior to the flood. We had this great water canopy that was above the earth, and that's why we had tropical plants at the North and South Pole, for example, because we were basically in a greenhouse-type condition where the whole earth was more consistent in its temperature, and the rays of the sun and the UV rays particularly were blocked. Also, the magnetic fields of the earth were stronger. You know, if you look over time, you find that those magnetic fields have consistently diminished over time. And that would have changed the UV rays entering into our area. There's also all sorts of other ways that things like carbon, especially carbon radicals or ions, can come into existence or be corrupted or bled in from something else. Or the point is that prior to the flood, radiometric dating is useless because of the differing conditions and the assumptions that are made in those calculations. What typically happens in a radiometric dating situation is they'll take three different tests. One of them will say, well, this happened 4,000 years ago, and this one will say it happened 40,000 years ago, and this one will say 100,000 years ago, and they throw out the 4,000 because they don't like the sound of that. It doesn't match their evolutionary theory, so they reach over here and grab the one that says 100,000 and say that's the correct date, when there's a whole bunch of dates there that don't agree with each other. But that doesn't even take into consideration the corruptions of it, or the bleeding of it, or the sistering of it, or the change in the environmental condition before the flood. So you need to first of all understand that these studies, these dating methods, had nothing to do with the ages that are put on the various geological stratas. Well, now, how did they come into being? Those ages came into being. They've changed over time consistently. They keep getting longer and longer and longer because they realize mathematically that the assumptions that they've made and the theories that they've thrown out there, well, they just don't mathematically work. Not only are they improbable, they're not possible. You know, if you look at that guy Floyd, who was a great mathematician in the Netherlands and was a teacher and a worldwide known and acknowledged scientist and mathematician, he did a calculation on it, and he determined that if you make all the assumptions that they put in with the evolutionary thinking, and you say that it's correct, and you assume that all of their thinking is correct, they look at these stratas, these geological stratas, and they say, well, okay, in this strata is this level of evolutionary process. In other words, they look at it and say, okay, the brain development, the lifestyle and everything here was so prehistoric, if you will. And then you go to this next strata, and here's some things that are a little bit more developed. You know, animals that are a little more developed and a little bit more, and finally you get to the strata where you've got men, and those are at the highest levels. Well, let's think about this for a minute. How could these things get deposited at various levels like this? Well, let's see. There was a flood, and the life forms that were least capable of recognizing that the flood was happening are going to be at the lowest ground. They're not going to flee from it. They're just going to get drowned. And then the next, some of the animals had enough sense to go a little higher ground and managed to escape, and they were a little bit more developed than the previous ones, so they go to the next strata. And it so goes all the way to the, you get to the top of the highest ground, and there's man and all the other halfway intelligent animals out there. And so the flood comes, and it kills them quickly, and they get fossilized, because that's the only way fossils happen, is in a catastrophic condition where they're buried quickly. Otherwise, those fossils wouldn't be there. So here we've got these stratas. Well, these evolutionist people come along and say, well, gee, these down here must have been billions of years ago, and then these up here all the way, you know, maybe 10,000 years ago, and they assign dates to the ones in between. Well, there's no scientific data whatsoever to justify the ages that they put on any of those stratas, not radiometric dating, nothing. The way that they do it, if you ask them the question, well, how do you know that's that old? Well, I know it's that old because look at what's in it. Well, how do you know what's in it is that old? Well, it's in that strata. That is the way that the ages have been assigned to it, purely based on circular reasoning. No scientific observable data to justify the ages that have been put on those whatsoever. But one thing we do know is that they were all buried very quickly. So the flood explains all of that. Now let's look at what they call the, what's the oldest strata, Dr. Kate? The Precambrian, strata. What fossils do we find in the Precambrian strata, the ones that are, that's the absolute oldest? Well, you don't find fossils on that because it predated life. But what do we find in it? Do we find, if it forms slowly over time, do we find any meteor material in that? No, none. No meteor material in the Precambrian rocks. Well, what do we find in it? Well, we find these little halos, these radiation halos from, what's the word? 218. It's, Kate, help me out if you know the name of that element. It's a particular element, and it's the 218 isotope of that element, and it has a half-life of about 3.5 minutes, so that had to be formed, and those halos had to form within 3.5 minutes. Anybody getting the picture here? That means that Precambrian rock was formed in less than 3.5 minutes.
Okay, Terry.
Yes.
Polonium.
Polonium, thank you.
Yes.
Well, my point is this. I look at the scriptures, and I look at the timelines and everything that's in here, and I see nothing in observable scientific data that disproves this scripture, the timeline of the scripture. I have no trouble from a scientific basis believing that the earth is less than 10,000 years old. So,
okay, let me, I think, you know, I'm sorry.
What's the point? What advantage does it give us at this point to not accept exactly what the scripture is telling us here? I'm reaching for that.
Okay, I actually, if I may, and this may surprise both of you. I've been sitting here. A couple of verses have been coming into mind. I don't know exactly what piece of scripture it is, but it does say, you know, be careful about relying on man's view and interpretation, so forth and so on. So I'm, as you know, Terry, I'm with you on this physical age of the earth thing. But Red, I'm trying to get at, I'm still trying to understand the depth of what you're saying, and I'm wondering if this might be it. If we, let's say that the terms of the earth was without form and void, let's say that it was just in God's mind. He hadn't thought about it yet. You know, if you can even say there's a mind. But say that's what that meant. But also, let me switch gears just a little bit right here. How do we know that this is the time right now? This is the last chance for Satan. How do we know that right now? Or that the Bible seems to be an endless discussion. So what I'm going to throw out here and see if this makes any sense is that indeed the trouble between Satan and God is forever. It's eternal. It's been an eternal battle. And this is it. This is the last chance, so to speak, i.e. God being just and so forth, but also answering that question, how do we know that Revelation really is it? How do we know that it's this time? And so, again, where I'm uncomfortable is that scriptural verse that says, be careful when you rely on yourself. And I think I read something last night in Proverbs about not getting caught up in your own mind and your own thoughts and, quote, understanding of what's going on right now. So here we are talking the geology and radiometric dating and that. And then on the other hand, we're also speculating, I guess, you know, about a previous creation. But isn't the kernel of truth that this has been an eternal battle going on long before humans got here and the earth was created? This has been an eternal battle, and this is the end. And the Bible and Scripture is the story of this end, finally, of this evil, of Satan. Let me throw that out for both of your consideration and see if either of you respond. I'll know that I haven't knocked you off the floor or totally made you mad or whatever, but what do you think?
Well, let me say something here. Are you going to go till another 15 minutes or?
Yes, unfortunately. Just
okay, well,
just 15 minutes.
Yeah, here's what I want to say. You know, Lucifer was a created being. Our Heavenly Father created him and created him as the administrator of planet Earth. And there's enough scripture to back that up, I'm sure, at least in my own mind. Anyway, Lucifer, of course, you see, a couple of times in the Bible it tells you that that God repented himself, that he had made man and such. And of course, God apparently felt that he had made a mistake. Because man had failed so miserably. We were to function in his likeness. I don't like that word image that's in the King James. I don't like that word just doesn't fit there for me. We were created in his likeness. And of course, we have the picture there in the New Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, coming as man and baptized with John into the wilderness for 40 days and nights, and he comes out, and Lucifer is there, and takes him up on a high mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the earth. Now, Lucifer, you see, he wants every single person created from the dust of the earth. He wants every one of them back into the dirt. He claims this planet as his own. And that's why our Heavenly Father is going to redeem it, because you redeem something if it's been lost through fraud or deceit or deception or whatever. He's going to redeem his property. Now, we know that Lucifer cannot take the life of anyone without God's permission. However, mankind, created in the likeness of our Heavenly Father, can and they do on a massive scale. The Bolsheviks, Alexander Solzhenitsyn says they murdered over 60 million Russian people. And most of them were Russian Orthodox Christians. And Lucifer wants every one of us dead. Because God said, if Adam and Eve, he said, if you eat of that tree, if you disobey me, you're going to die. And so I figured that it was 1966 or 67. I think it was about the time of the Six-Day War. I came to the conclusion that mankind had finally reached a point where they had the capacity to wipe man off of the face of the earth. You know, we've heard all this about the poison gas and everything in Syria. I think this is all fakery. I think it's all political verbiage. It's all, you know, stuff, words thrown out there to get the world, people of the world all shook up about everything, because the weapon that could wipe man off of the face of the earth right now is not chemical, it's biological. And I know a little bit about that game, and I know that that we've been working on the biological, Israelis have been working on the biological, the Russians, and I bet, I dare say, just about every sizable country on the face of the earth, they've been playing the game here with trying to come up with bacteria and viruses and whatnot to wipe man off the face of the earth. And that's what Lucifer's goal is. That's what his plan is. And God has another idea. If we serve him, if we serve him properly, if we put our trust in him, if we get on his side of this battle, then we can have eternal life. But if you're on Lucifer's side, it's going to be eternal death. It's just that simple. And so I am of the opinion that we have missed in our day and age. We haven't kept up with the truth that's are available out there, and so we'll have to get on the on some more of this on the next next week program. Have you got it kind of scheduled, Dr. Kate, for next Wednesday again?
Yes, Red. The plan is to really take the however long it takes to do this work. We should, and I think we've gotten to a very good place on this subject, and this kind of introduction, and let's talk about where we go from this kind of foundation, because what I'm seeing the foundation now is that how so clear, and as we said this many times before, but maybe not from this depth, is that it is a spiritual battle, and it's between good and evil, and we in our time right now are very much a part of this. And part of what has happened is now, as Red was just saying, that Satan cannot kill anyone without God's permission, but man certainly can, using being tempted and used and being given all the kingdoms by Satan, can do that. And that's right now where we are, that assault that Terry, you talked about. So from that standpoint, and with that a basic foundation, we need to add various pieces of scripture here, you know, including the temptation. And that's what I'll work on in the next week, is to try to look at how this particular show or this particular taped piece, what we can do with it and how that works. But so from here, where would be the next step? Terry, I still go back to that list of questions that you developed. What's next?
Well,
I believe that this was good that we kind of experimented with where to begin. I believe that it's important that we really do understand how Lucifer, I believe some people dispute this, by the way, that Lucifer and Satan are the same. I happen to believe that they are the same. But I believe that it's important for us to look at what happened with him and bring out those scriptures as a beginning point. And the reason I say that is that it is him that is at the head of the enemy today. I read today where someone referred to him as the third force, being that which controls the, I think they call it the Council of Twelve, that are the head of the crown, which is the, you know, the families that rule over the Vatican, over the London City, which is that one square mile financial district in London, and over Washington D.C. And I'm totally convinced that those people are Luciferian. Many of them claim to be Jews. Of course, they're Judy. They do follow Judaism, but it's a Talmudic Kabbalist Judaism. Point is that I think we need to look at the scriptures that talk about how Lucifer came to be in the position that he's in, so that we can clearly understand who is leading and directing this spiritual battle that's going on today. Isaiah 14 would be a good place to start, by the way.
Excellent. Red?
I'm chuckling. I think I have put this thing together, the whole picture. I think I put it together. I have read a lot of theological stuff and everything, and I have put it together in my own mind, and I am so convinced that I'm very close to being right on target. Here I am going to be 85 years old, and my days are numbered, and so I don't really want to let all of that time let all of that study and thinking just die with me when I go. Because I think that the day in which we're living is the last days, and Lucifer is going to try to wipe man off the face of the earth, and God is going to shorten the day if he has to. That's Matthew 24:22. Our Heavenly Father, I have a lot of faith in him, and he's going to shorten the day before Lucifer is able to destroy mankind on planet Earth. And you don't want to forget that the commission that was given to Adam was to take dominion, and boy, we have not done a very good job of it. And I think we were shortchanged in our theological upbringing, and like I said, there's billions, I'm sure, of people who have been born and raised and never understood that they're part of either the good side or the bad, or the evil side, the good versus evil. And it's not, nobody is really talking about that war, good versus evil. Nobody is really working on it. It's not being taught, and I think that's a mistake. So I'll shut down for a week here, and we'll see what kind of discussion we can get next week.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That is an excellent way to end it and to also move forward for next week. And Terry, I wanted to know if you would close us in prayer, and then I would like to close out by playing one of my favorite songs called The Stand, and that is really what we need to do. Terry?
Well, I opened us. I think it'd be good to have Red close us.
I'd be more than happy to do so. Heavenly Father, we come to you in our weaknesses, in our failures, in our shortcomings, knowing that you are there and you help us, you give us inspiration, you give us thoughts, you give us the truth. And we just pray now, dear Lord, that you would guide us as we try to produce a record that might be able to go out there and help people to get a better picture of this spiritual war that we're in. They're being overwhelmed with the political, and that is not the war that really counts. And so we want to do something to change that picture if we can. And we just pray that you would give us the insights, the inspiration that we need to do this. And we just know that you are able, you are almighty and all-powerful, and you're going to help us if we will do our part, and help us to do that, do our part to make truth real to people out there. So with that, we thank you now for giving us this opportunity. This hour and a half has been very worthwhile, I believe, and I just thank you for making it available. And we ask this all now in thy precious and thy holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Red, very much. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, guests. Have a great week.
You too.
Have a good night. Good night, Red.